In the chaos and distractions of everyday life, it's easy to feel disconnected, distant from God, from the people we love, and even from our own hearts. Yet deep within, we know there's something more, something greater. We are called to be reconciled. Welcome to Be Reconciled with Father Paul Bakke, a space for honest conversations about faith, relationships, and finding our way back to true connection. As Saint Isaac the Syrian reminds us, be reconciled with yourself, and heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. When we make peace within, we open the door for healing in every part of our lives. And we hold on to this truth from 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So wherever you are in your journey, we invite you to tune in, reflect, challenge yourself, and take one step closer to the connection you were made for. It all begins with a simple step: to be reconciled.
So if you used to be intimate with your partner, but decided to stop, and made the decision to wait until marriage, do you think the divorce rate would still be high?
Yeah, and I think some of this goes back to the statistics that Utsik was sharing about intimacy. Remind me, Abby, it was like 60%, right?
The one who has one partner before marriage is 10 to 15% rate of divorce. Over than three partners, 40 to 50% rate of divorce. Over than six partners, then it goes really
Sideways.
Out of control. And I think the fear in the, you know what, I ruined it.
Yeah.
Will God bless my future relationship if I lived a pure life?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Look, I don't know that you can, it depends when you talk about stopping, what you mean by stopping. Right? You know, do you decide the month before the wedding, we'll take a break? Right? You didn't stop. Okay? If you're telling me that you fell in this sin and you realized it was wrong, and you both took a renewed vow of celibacy, and you took the path, now we're talking, and Utsik talked about this in the talk, this is, the adulteress becomes a virgin again with the spirit of repentance. Good. And so when there is the spirit of repentance and renewal, and reflection, then no, because now all of the statistics are thrown out, because now we added a different variable. We added God, right? Before, God cannot be in a relationship where there is sex. He cannot. He does not exist in a premaritally intimate relationship. And so if you are bringing him into the fold and being renewed, both of you, and this is a commitment to a lifestyle, not just the hiatus that you're taking, yes, there is hope. I believe that there is hope. I think the problem is when we don't take it seriously, okay? And we talk about this with purity, all the steps we're supposed to take. You can say, I'm not going to do this again. Bess, what do you do to make sure you don't? Are you continuing to FaceTime at 11 p.m., you know, both of you not wearing the right clothes, talking about the wrong things? Are you both getting in the car together and sitting in the car late? Are you visiting each other in each other's houses? Are you doing all the same things, but now you think you can be in control? Number one, you will fail. And number two, you're still tempting yourselves. This is not righteous. So I think from our perspective, and I would love to hear Otsik's opinion as well, if you are serious about not being intimate anymore and you take the steps to no longer be intimate anymore and to put the relationship on God's shoulders, yes, the divorce rates will decrease. Why? Because now you have removed more unrighteousness from the relationship. Bess, will there be scars? Taban, there might be. And you have to deal with this when the time comes. But if you're not serious, you will have more than scars.
I agree with Otsek. I think true repentance, true repentance, true fear of God, and true love of God will reset all those stats.
Yep,
will put you in the category of the one who didn't have any relationship, the one who lived a pure life with the least amount of rate of divorce.
Yep.
But if it is just to get by or to get things done your way, and God looks to the heart.
Yes.
True repentance, true fear of God, true love of God, you will reset the whole stats of divorce.
Love that. Okay, the next question that we liked, isn't it unrealistic to not be intimate with your partner, especially in a period of time where people stay engaged much longer before marriage? I can't wait to hear you. I'm going to explode. Let's ignore how I feel about this.
So the question is...
Is it unrealistic to not be intimate?
To not be intimate. So, as if the person is saying it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
We should be intimate.
We have to.
Two things. The relationship with God doesn't make sense. The whole Christianity doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to forgive? Does it make sense to love your enemy? Does it make sense to give all your life? Does it make sense to pursue him only? Does it make sense to bless those who are hurting you? Everything in Christian life doesn't make sense from a human perspective. And living a pure life does not make sense as well. But through God, we will be able to be more than conqueror. Through him, we will overcome. Through him, not that we are superhuman beings, but we are weak, but with him, we can do all things. Yes. So the concept of doesn't make sense, a whole Christian life doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. And through him, we will be able to. Mm-hmm. But accepting the idea that, you know what, I will pursue an impure relationship, and I want God to bless it, forget it. It's not going to happen. And the scripture said in Galatians 6:8, I keep returning back to this Bible verse because I think it's a key one. For he who sows to his flesh, sowing to the flesh, will out of the flesh reap corruption. Mm-hmm. And he who sows to the Spirit, uppercase Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will out of the Spirit reap eternal life, everlasting life. So if I keep putting the plant, putting the seed of flesh, the lust, the desires, everybody is doing it. Why you are making it hard on me? It's a long, relationship, and we just we need to go through this because of whatever reason. Then I am sowing to the flesh. Out of the flesh, this is not me. This is not Abuna Augustine. This is the scripture.
Correct.
Out of the flesh, you will reap corruption. What does it mean, corruption? You lead, if you have seen any dead animal after a few days of their death, this is a corrupt corpse. This is something that's corrupt. So this is what the scripture is saying. But if you, he who sows to the Spirit to live a pure life, to live a prayer, life of prayer, a life of repentance and confession, a life of being anchored in the sacraments of the church, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So purity paves the way for intimacy, another important aspect. The more we live a pure life, the more this God will bless this intimate relationship in the end. And last but not least, this is opposite to the stats.
Yeah.
People who are cohabitating together,
yep.
Highest rate of divorce.
Here it is.
After they live together. And you can go and dig deeper why this is happening, but this is what the research is saying.
You know, Abby, there's something here too. Like, if I want to play devil's advocate with this, I would say you're right. It's unrealistic to not be intimate, but it's unrealistic to not be emotionally intimate. Like, you should take the time of the courting and the engagement period to develop emotional intimacy, where you are learning how to be vulnerable with one another, understand one another, confide in one another, be supported by one another. This is the intimacy you should pursue. And this is the intimacy that settles the soul, right? It settles you because now you feel like you are finding a person who understands you, who cares for you. And this is what you're supposed to figure out in the courting phase and in the engagement phase. You're supposed to figure out, does this person care for me? I can guarantee you they care for your body. Like, I can guarantee that because they want it. But can I guarantee they care for your soul, for your salvation, for your heart? And these are the things that we die for. It's like, you know, we sit with these people and our heart break when we hear, you know, I feel like I was a piece of meat. I feel like I was discarded. I feel like my voice wasn't important. So much of this. And it's because we're chasing the wrong intimacy in the wrong period. If we're chasing emotional intimacy in this period, it's so different. And the other thing is, You're telling me that your engagement period's long. Why? Why? Why do you need a 3-year engagement period? In a perfect world, if you are ready to be married, this is 2 to 2.5 years from the beginning of getting to know each other to the time that you're at the wedding. This is what it should be. The longer you take, the harder it gets. The more things you find wrong with the person, the more likelihood you're going to make a purity mistake. And the more likely that you're going to have more people infiltrating the relationship and causing problems. Your goal in the courting and engagement period is to know enough about the person to say you can weather the storm that's coming, because there's always a storm. Now, tawwal kida, you're making a huge mistake. I don't know about Otsik, but from my perspective, unless very unique circumstances, I don't want to hear about an engagement that's taking more than a year. I think a year to 18 months is the maximum we want to be thinking for this.
I heard Otsik saying, timeline. If you can put the timeline again, this is just a suggested timeline, because I liked what Otsik said, the courting and the finding and facts finding.
Yeah.
So if you can lay it out,
of course. Be helpful. So what I try to suggest is in the first 3 months, some of the fact-finding phase, when you're getting to know someone, you're figuring out who this person is. Is there enough compatibility to take the initial attraction to fruition? So this phase is not about picking on people and finding out, I have to fix this in them and fix that in them and I'm going to correct. No, it's figuring stuff out. Is there such a gap between you guys that it's not worth it? Or is the gap manageable? The next 3 months or so, this is the period where you're doing the fact finding. Now you're getting into, the deal breakers. You're getting into, now let's have hard conversations. I notice that you're kind of impulsive. You're kind of aggressive. Can we talk about that? I notice that you're very flirtatious. Can we talk about that? I notice that you're DMing a bunch of people. Can we talk about that? You're not in church. Can we talk about that? Now we're saying, I think that there's enough here to get to the finish line. Now I have to challenge the areas that make me scared. And then from the 6 to 9 months, this is now engaging the family. Hey, have the families meet, start talking about the finish line. And the last 3 months is you're planning for the proposal. You're planning, you're getting the ring, you're coordinating the families, all of this stuff. Start talking about when you want to have your wedding date. And then the following year is the engagement. So it's about in that 12-month period of dating or courting, this is 3 months fact-finding, 3 months deal-breaker discussions, 3 months of families meeting and kind of building the unity of the families, and the last 3 months is preparing for the proposal and getting ready for the next year of the wedding. And then that 1 year of engagement. I think that this is a realistic timeline for people that are ready to be married. And Mushkila and Abby, you know this. You're in college, you don't even know what your major is, but you know you're in love. you're going to wait 7 years because this is the only person that said that I have to marry Captain Falafel, who I met in Madrid. And you're like, come on, bro, like, really? Now you're not ready. But when we're talking, you're 23 as a young woman, 24 as a young man, you're working, you're making money, your father confession is telling you this is the time to get out there, go pursue. Okay, we can have a real conversation. This isn't going to take you more than 2 to 3 years. But when you're doing it early, now there's all these restrictions. Can you imagine? You know, you have your kiddo, and your daughter or your son wants to date at 17, 18 years old, and you know they have to hold out for 5 years? You're micromanaging everything they're doing. They're not able to live because now they have to worry about everything. It creates an epic level of complication. That's why college people, don't hate me. Or hate me, I don't care. This is not the right time. Get to know people, have your eye on someone, start praying about it, and work on yourself. When you're ready and you can take the next step, that's when you do it. I don't know if Otsik has a different feeling.
No, 100%. I have 100%. The whole thing is the right timing.
It's so important.
It's all about the right timing and being ready and being the best version that you can be.
Yep.
So as you will... be able to reach out to the person that you hope to live all your life with. How much do you need to tell your current partner about a past sinful relationship if you've repented and stopped before meeting them?
This hurts me a lot. The first thing I'll ask you is, have you repented? If you've repented and you have done the work and you have been forgiven and you have moved on and renewed the vow of chastity, God buried your sins. It's extremely arrogant, Yirgamaya. It's extremely arrogant to believe that you can resurrect what God kills. God can resurrect what man killed, but we cannot resurrect what God kills, and he kills our sin. This is the power of the sacrament of confession. And so if someone asks you point blank, you can be honest, and you should. I made a mistake at one point in my life, and I fell. But I would not go more than this, I believe this very strongly. If you left it behind and there's not a venereal disease or a baby on the way, we don't have to have a long conversation about this. If the person continues to pry and to pry and to pry, there's a bigger red flag. Now judgment is entering the equation, okay? Or maybe it's insecurity. And this is something that needs to be confronted, okay? But that's all. And I would not volunteer this information. I don't believe in volunteering it. Unless one of those two scenarios of a disease that will follow you or a baby that will follow you exists. No, you were forgiven. You let it go. Are you sitting here and telling them, oh yeah, I hit my sister when I was 17 and I gave her a black eye and I stole a bunch of clothes from the mall and I got caught by the cop. Are you telling them every story about your sin? No, you're not. Ms. Sadat, this one you have to.
Come on. And even they asked this question to Pope Shenouda. And the Pope, and I listened, I heard it by my own ears. The Pope said, you are committed to reveal everything to your partner once the day you started being committed to this person in the relationship, what happened in the past. You repented, as Otsek said, you lived a life of repentance, then you don't need to share anything. And when people are digging deeper in the history, the judgment is a question mark. Yeah. Trust is a question mark.
Yeah.
Jealousy is a question mark. All of this is coming up. And the question is, as Otsek said, even if I have done mistakes, the problem is in details.
Yes.
That's why the devil is in the details.
Yes.
Oh, tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. And this is how I saw a few couples. They broke up.
Exactly.
Because of the details.
I've seen the same.
He couldn't. He couldn't.
Let it go.
Let it go. It is hunting his mind. He cannot sleep. And you didn't need to say anything.
Nah.
And now he's following the guy on social media. And thinking, oh, okay,
yes.
Legal action, the restraining order. Oh, boy. Where is this going? Just and this is the beauty of the church and the sacrament
and of the Coptic Church.
Yes.
Yes. Huge.
God has given us. I am the one who wipes out your sin and casts it in the sea of forgetfulness. The name of the sea is Sea of Forgetfulness. The God is not going to remember it. So why you are bringing it up? Pursue your holy life. Pursue being pure. Be honest and be genuine. And God already forgave and forgot. So let us move forward and let us have this mindset. But if it is hunting the person, because I have seen also men and women, they are obsessed with the idea, they cannot sleep, then you are on the wrong relationship. And you need to know this about yourself, that you know what, this is something that is unsettling, that this is who you are, and deal with the issue as you deal with any other issue in your life, but don't ruin the life of the other person.
Yes, and Abby, actually, you know, what you said earlier about the person in lust who is a righteous person doesn't think it's a problem because they don't fall in it, this is the wild thing. You're so obsessed with the intimacy, but if we're honest, are we going to talk about the fact that porn is probably in your life? Like, are you so blind to the fact that someone was physically intimate in a moment where maybe you have consistent moments in porn or in anger or aggression? It's so wild to me how the myopic focus on this one sin that we think is the deal breaker in all things, when realistically speaking, if your sin was laid bare in front of this person who made a mistake once, what would they do if they know, oh, this is my Tuesday snack? You know, I'll ask Kotsik this next one. this goes back to when Otsik was talking about 3+ partners in the talk. How do we consider someone's sexual history in light of the studies linking 3+ partners to higher divorce without crossing the boundaries that we just talked about?
This is a good question. Is how to... I think they have the right to ask if it is one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
How long was the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a sinful relationship for one day, two nights, or it has been there for 3 years.
Yeah.
Did it happen one time or did it happen repeatedly? So being honest about this is, I think it's...
huge.
It's a huge, and the linking the 3+ past partners, if this is causing you to be going really crazy and you are losing your sleep and you,
yeah.
then you are in the with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then this is something, you know what, it's obvious now. You are going in an anxiety, a panic attack, and this is not from God.
No, 100%.
So, but if you are able to see the goodness in the person, Saint Augustine fell repeatedly in immoral sin. Saint Moses the Strong fell. Mary of Egypt, she worked as a prostitute.
Yeah.
The saints, I mean, the work of God in the life of the people who are honest and obedient and genuine with the Lord have made them saints that we look up to, and you say, you know what, I wish I have one over million of this life of the saints. So, but you cannot just hold them accountable for all the mistakes that they have done. If you see the goodness in them, if you see the life of repentance, if you see the righteousness of God in them, you see that they want to keep you also pure. They're not pushing the boundaries. Mm. Oh, I had a problem. Yeah. And I repented.
Mm-hmm. There
it is. I'm pushing the boundaries with you personally.
There it is.
Then now I'm shooting myself in my foot.
Yep, there
it is. You have a huge red flag and you are not seeing it.
Correct.
But where they respect you, you respect your body, you respect your boundaries, you respect your purity, you respect your decision of the celibacy vow that you have done. And they honor it and they cherish it and they say, you know what, let us go together. Let us keep this vow with the Lord till God is going to bless us with the gift of intimacy and sex in the day of our marriage. And then there is no problem.
Correct, correct.
So there is a lot of factors here. There is nothing beyond the forgiveness of God and the renewal of God, and everything of the past have gone, and everything the Lord has blessed in our life and give us the chance to be completely renewed is this is good news.
Yeah.
If you keep going back, it's a hard one.
I think too, Ebi, to kind of just put a little bow on this with what Otsik is saying, what's the distance between the sin and the new relationship? You tell me you're 3 months out of being all over the place and sleeping around. I don't care what work you think you've done. You didn't unscrew 10 years in 3 months. Nobody does, okay?
Very true.
You have to give yourself a reasonable amount of time. So if you're the person, this is important, if you're the person who's fallen this way, your life isn't over. You're not going to marry a dumpster fire. But you have a responsibility to get serious work done, whether it's, you know, your spiritual life and taking a vow of celibacy at least 6 months, honestly, before you enter another relationship. Therapy is something to be thinking about, because the acting out has roots inside of it. There are traumas that have led me to choose destructive behavior. That's the kind of work that has to be done to make these statistics less damaging, right? I can have that conversation when I know that's not who I am anymore, that it's a part of me that's buried, versus, you know, we all have God highs, right, where we're super excited about God, and then it comes crashing down. And then when it comes crashing down, what do you leave behind? If you leave behind all the good work you did and all that's left is the death, well, then you're going to die again. So I feel like that's another part that we miss sometimes when we attack this.
Yeah, very true. Very true, Abby.
Well, so maybe one more in this area, and then we can go to families, I think. I shouldn't have left.
what do you do when you bring up a concern to your partner and they say they are going to work on the problem, but you don't see any change happen after a while?
Okay, so what's the concern is the first thing. And if you notice, I like to challenge the question itself so that you can give yourself the context that you need to give yourself. But what is the concern? Then I would. And if it's something like, I don't like the way he chews his food. Like, are we going to get him jaw surgery? I don't know how to help you. Or is it that you notice that he is not active in church, or that he is aggressive, or that he's unkind, or, you know, sarcastic or flirtatious? The level of concern matters relative to the change, okay? And the second thing is, what's the kind of time that you're giving them? Oh, I talked about his anger last week, and he still got mad at the barista. Okay, he's had 1 week to figure this out. He's had 1 week. I have nothing for you, dude. Give this person some time. Haram, right? So it's important that we give people a chance. But let's say you give someone a couple months, you know, it's been brought up, and you're still seeing the trend. Confront it again, right? And also part of it is, when you talk about something, you need to talk about it and let them know, this is a deal breaker in my life. This is something that worries me about you, because this is how I think it will affect my life. When we're willing to challenge this way, I think we're going to get better answers.
Yeah, and the clarity will make the life of other person way easier. I've seen some of the many of the in relationship will have a partner that they catch or mm-hmm. they pinpoint
yep,
those
yep,
issues
yep.
early.
Yes.
And the other person is giving them the hard time. No, nothing is this, nothing is serious. So being able to say, for me, this is a deal breaker. It is yes. not that you are a good person or a bad person. You are mm-hmm. definitely a good person. But this is something I cannot live with. This is yeah. something I cannot take and accept in my life. If you are serious about our relationship,
exactly.
you want to take an action for it, this is great. This is a good sign.
Yes.
But if this is something you don't want to budge, then there is nothing we can do.
Yes,
then this is this in itself a message that I don't care,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going with my own ways. You have my way or the highway.
Love it. Okay, let's go into the family questions. We'll take a couple of these. What do you do if the family doesn't accept the relationship, but you're doing everything right in the eyes of God and the church?
This is a very tough one.
Hate this one. That's why I gave it to Isaac.
It depends. Okay, the family does not accept. We need really to unpack this a lot. Mm-hmm. Why they don't accept?
Correct.
And they are not accepting because of godly reasons,
mm-hmm.
Or they are not accepting because of a status, or
there
they are not
go.
That rich. They're not that in our status. Mm-hmm. They're not that well educated.
They like came from this place in Egypt.
Yeah,
this is my location. Favorite. Yeah, and harab it get from Almania. Zay, we mail Almania.
What's a guy from Almania?
Ah, tough.
This is where the 21 Coptic martyrs.
Exactly.
Came.
I mean, exactly.
This is the saints. The place of the saints. So, the key is really unpack why they don't accept. And those are very, very intense emotional discussions. But try to have a good setup, maybe bring Abuna in and
yep.
dig deeper in what is really the concerns. Mm-hmm. And when you know the concerns, you will put them in two buckets. It's a godly reason or it's an ungodly reason.
Yep.
If an ungodly reason, I will tell you what are the options. If it is a godly reason, then it needs a soul search from within.
Correct.
Then it needs a lot of prayer. Then this is the sign that God is giving me to walk away. If it is an ungodly reason, then two options. Are you independent and able to make a decision?
Yes.
And financially independent and emotionally independent. And you have the guts to say no to mom and dad.
Yep.
And you love the person that much to go through whatever you are going through because you don't see any problem in the relationship. Mm-hmm. You have done the right thing. Your father of confession is approving. The church is telling you, yes, there is no problem now, because they have an irrational or unlogic or a reason that is doesn't make sense to say no.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes it is the reason is ungodly. Oh, because they are not in the same status like us.
Yes.
It's ungodly reason. Because of materialistic, I'm categorizing people based on how much money they have. And the man and the woman, they don't have the gut to tell mom and dad, you know what,
I'm there not it moving is. Forward. Because of poor boundaries in your life or wherever you are in life.
Then,
yeah.
Then now you will be torn all your life.
Correct.
You will be broken every single day. We told you. And then this is a very hard spot to be in. If it is an ungodly reason and you don't have the gut to tell mom and dad, this is what I want in my life, and have the blessings of your father of confession and the church is blessing this. I recall a situation where the parents are saying no because of a health condition in the in the guy, and they said, oh, this will cause a lot of problems, and the girl loved him so much, and he was a very righteous man. And okay, it happened that he had a problem in his health, and he went through all the process. And this is an ungodly reason, because who is giving you the guarantee that you yourself will not have the same health problem in a few weeks? Who is giving you the guarantee? So why you are judging the person because of their health? But when they dig deeper in why they are not accepting, and it is an ungodly reason, and they consulted with the priest, the father of confession, the father of confession of the other person, the extended family, the people who are reasonable in your family and wise, and everything else, everything is lining up. They got married.
Yeah.
And the parents apologized afterwards. And they said, you know what, we have wronged you. We saw that now we see what you saw in this person. Mm-hmm. And they regretted and they reconciled with the family. So I think this is the process I will take.
I love this. I want to ask you a question, because I have a strong feeling about one piece of this, which is when this is going on, I worry that the more that the partner knows about the impending rejection, the harder it is to let go.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, so this is one of those things, and if Utsik supports me, please, if not, calibrate, because this is one of those that you've seen more than me. But I believe that when you're battling with this, the more you tell your partner about the awful things that your parents are saying or thinking, the harder it will be for reconciliation later. In the beginning, everyone reconciles. Why? Because they want to get married and there's nothing at stake. But once it's done and kids come, once the kids come, now there's a fear. Because the grandparent now is at a disadvantage. They want to see their grandkids, but who did they wrong? This person. And even if you apologize, now every activity, now into Mish super nice in a dinner, they feel it. Oh, it's because you hated me back. And it comes back, and it comes back. And it's like, oh my gosh, right? And then it makes it harder for the relationship, because now the mother or the father feels they need to protect the kids, because the kids are 50% everything they wanted and 50% none of what they wanted. So what's Utsik's perspective on when... You know, when it's okay to be telling the partner about what the parents are thinking in this place, in the courting period.
Less is more.
Amen, amen, amen.
Less is more.
Thank you. Yes. Oh.
And save the dignity of the person.
Exactly.
Their respect to themselves. Sometimes the parents will have very weird comments about whatever is going in their life. So as a responsible person, I want to protect also my spouse to be in the future, from any to shelter them from any negative attacks or negative comments. And to tell them that I'm backing you up.
Yes, yes.
I'm there for you.
Yes.
I love you who you are. And yes, those issues, you handle it with your family.
Yes.
Zip it.
Yep.
And move on.
You know, Utsik, I love that, because really, what does Paul teach us? Love covers the multitude of sins, right? The love is bi-directional. You are loving your parents by covering their embarrassing action. You are covering your parents. Like, I love you so much that I'm not going to show everybody how ridiculous you are. And I love my partner so much that I am not going to show you how ridiculous people are. My love is so great because I want, this is what God does. God said, he who threw a stone, who did not commit a sin, throw the first stone. No, he's covering everyone. Our job is to cover one another. Your parents are not the thing that they're saying. They're not. They raised you. You're a good person. They love you. They're just worried you're making a bad choice. And so you want to cover their dignity. And you cover the dignity of your partner. But I'll tell you something. The more that your partner knows about what they're walking into, they may say yes because they want you. But what you're setting yourself up for the next 35 to 40 years can be catastrophic. And I recommend you think twice about it.
I totally agree.
Okay, I'll take one more in the family.
When we talk about leave/independence, what about inheritance? Like the son or the daughter inherits a business or money or anything of that sort.
I think this comes back to when Otsik was talking about, you know, having the guts to kind of take your own stand. Look, you know, you have to keep that in mind. I would not worry about inheritance, okay? Inheritance, this means you're worried about the materialistic component of your relationship with your family. If you you have to leave and cleave, okay? You know, when I hear people say, I'm expected to take over my family business. Well, do you want to? This is a career question more than it is anything else. You know, you have to because he did it? No, not true. He can do 1,000 other things. I know tons of people whose parents built very successful businesses and they don't. They don't take it over. They decide they want to pursue a different path. But I think when it comes to inheriting money or things like this, this should be second. As Abuna always teaches us, money under your feet elevates you. Money over your head humiliates you. And so, Yani, money should not be guiding these choices. Khalas. You leave. You have to choose your partner. And if they don't approve, you have to expect that you might lose things financially. But that's why Abuna said you have to have the guts, that the person is worth the struggle and the suffering. He's worth it or she's worth it. And that's okay. God will fill. If you're doing it righteously, people don't realize this. And I know, Otsik, you know the story is the same I do. If you're doing it righteously, you really are pursuing this person righteously, and you know that you will be out money and you will not have things that you were supposed to have, God will fill that void.
All the time.
All the time. He will never leave you where he leads you. And he leads you to this person, and you held on to this person, you withstood the storm, God will carry you in this.
Maybe one last question in spirituality, Abby, because of the time.
Of course. Let me see a good one for Otsik. I like this one. When a relationship clouds the soul more than it clarifies it, is the faithfulness found in staying or stepping away with wisdom? Mm. So it's clouding your soul, is not giving you clarity. Are you being faithful by staying to figure it out, or are you being faithful by walking away?
I think the key is how it clouds.
Yes.
If the relationship clouds the soul because of lust, because of anger, because of jealousy, so now this is seeds from sowing to the flesh.
Yes, exactly.
So you are sowing to the flesh, or the other person is sowing to in the flesh, and mm-hmm. that's why the soul is clouded.
Yeah.
So this is in the path of corruption.
Yeah.
Definitely step out.
Yeah.
flee.
Run.
But if the relation clouds the soul, maybe there is issues, and you are thinking that everything will be peaceful.
Mm.
Maybe there is some family member of your spouse to be that is really causing a lot of tension, but your spouse in the future is having clear boundaries, defending you, backing you up, and saying, what, I will stand in front of this person and I will not them ruin our relationship. So now it's just maybe an issue, maybe finances is clouding because we are stressed so much about finance.
Yes.
Okay, deal with the finances the way everyone deals with finance. Okay, what is my income? What is my resources? Mm-hmm. How can we be more savvy? How can we save? How can we cut here and increase here and work a little bit more and be smart in our finances to overcome this.
Exactly.
So what really clouds the soul is it passions and desires and sinful actions and lust, and then this is moving in the faithfulness will be found in stepping away.
Yes,
exactly.
But if it is regular issues that all of us are going through,
mm-hmm.
how to deal with the issue, how to nail it down, how to be honest about it, be vulnerable about it, and you will find that the clarity is being going back to us, and we will mm-hmm. pursue. We are now not stepping away; we are stepping in and being more anchored in this relationship.
Yeah.
If this answer is not clear, prayer, 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 prayer. God will reveal to you, will give peace. If this is from God, it will happen. Yeah. One of the best things I have learned in my life, Pope Kyrillos used to say this, "Elemen Rabbina Yizbet," the one that is from God will be confirmed.
Yes.
The one that is from God will be confirmed. Then keep this, if it is from you, O Lord, make it be confirmed. And last is not getting attached with stepping out or stepping in or continuing.
Yep.
Don't be obsessed with what I'm going to do. Be obsessed with what is the will of God for us in this relationship to continue to for life together, or the wise decision is to step away.
Yeah, I love this. If it's okay, Abby, if I can just add a small thing. We talked about the breakups a couple of days ago. You know, one of the things that we talked about is that if the reason is godly or not godly, if the reason is enough to make you doubt the relationship, and your heart is not in it, you're not putting the same effort, it's all a good reason to step away. Because when you are not, and this is why what Utsik is saying is so important. If you say, it's a good thing and I need to figure it out, your heart is in it. But if you say, it's a good thing, and I don't think I have, like, you don't even have the heart to continue in a righteous thing, save the person, step away. Because you can't be faithful in it. You're faithful in identifying the problem, not in resolving it. And I think that many times when we don't have the faithfulness, we cannot expect God's fruitfulness. And this is a very important point. And we do not advocate for breakups. We don't want this. We want people to be married and to be happy. But we need them to be married in God and for God. And so, Yani, if you're just papering over stuff and not wanting to deal with it, even though you know about it, no, you should walk away. Because what you're doing is you're filing it in the resentment drawer in your heart. Exactly. And that's, you didn't check for the splinters. This was fun, Yavi. Yeah. I had a lot of fun with Utsik.
towards the end of this episode, we are very thankful for this time with Abuna.
It's my blessing.
May God bless you and you bless your service, Abuna, and Mir and the kids, and bless everything you do. It's an honor to serve with you, and it's my blessing. We are praying that this will be fruitful for everyone, that this will be helpful for be reconciled with yourself, be reconciled with others, be reconciled with God as well. And see you in the next episode. I'm looking forward to meet Abuna many more times.
God willing, inshallah, Abi.
Thank you, Abi. Thank you so much.
Thank you.